Good morning. This is an ITV recorded appeal in the matter of the application of Unity Towers for a conditional use permit. Is counsel for the relator there?
Yes, Your Honor.
And can you identify yourself, sir?
Absolutely. My name is Jonathan Wolf, here representing Relator American Towers, LLC.
And is counsel for Freeborn County Board of Commissioners, are you there, Mr. Walker?
Yes, Your Honor. This is David Walker.
Thank you. And then finally, is counsel for Unity Towers there?
Yes, Your Honor. This is Steve Gaskins.
Thank you. And it's my understanding, Mr. Walker and Mr. Gaskins, you've split your time. Mr. Walker, you'll have 8 minutes, and Mr. Gaskins, you'll have 7 minutes.
Correct, Your Honor.
Thank you. In that case, Mr. Wolf, you may begin with your argument. You'll have 15 minutes and then 5 minutes of rebuttal if you wish to use it. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. As I stated, my name is Jonathan Wolf. I'm here representing American Towers this morning. I first have to apologize to all of you that you have to see me and presumably high definition on the other end instead of my colleague, Ms. Finstrom, who wrote the opening brief. She left us for Dorsey, unfortunately. So the facts of this case are relatively straightforward and I think agreed upon by all parties. Respondent Unity Towers applied for a conditional use permit from Respondent Freeborn County. And the county's planning commission investigated this application and made a recommendation to the county board. And the county board apparently adopted that recommendation verbatim without making any findings of its own. American Towers did appear at the county level to contest the application in front of the county board, but since the county board did not make findings of its own, those objections were not reflected in the record. After the conditional use permit was issued by the county, American Towers appealed, and of course that brings us to where we are today.
When you say the board made no findings of its own, well, the commission made no findings. Why can't we infer from the record that the Planning Commission adopted the Bordelon report based on the commission's including the report in its recommendation to the board?
Well, Your Honor, that's relatively simple because they didn't say explicitly that they did, and they didn't give any reasons why they would have. Now, I can certainly conceive of a case where the county may simply adopt the recommendations of the Planning Commission, but they still have to explain why they did. They still have to consider objections. The Planning Commission
What's the support in the case law that would support that proposition, that the board or the commission has to expressly say why it is that it's adopting Planning and Zoning Administrator's report as its finding?
Sure. Absolutely, I can address that. There's actually quite a bit of case law addressing this and showing that the county board can either explicitly approve and adopt the Planning Commission's recommendations or can reject them, but either way they have to make findings on them. One case is the Bartheld v. County of Kuching-Ching case, in which the county made a similar argument there that the county is making in this case. There, the county board actually held two hearings on a CUP application, and after the second hearing concluded that the relators met the requirements for approval of the CUP, and I'm sorry, the Planning Commission had recommended that the county board approve the CUP, but the county board denied it because basically they suggested that there was issues related to noise, traffic, neighborhood compatibility, which were discussed in the Planning Commission's report, but which were not specifically adopted as findings of the county board in that case. The Court of Appeals there said the county board failed to adopt findings regarding noise, traffic, or compatibility, the purported reason for their decision on the CUP, which was in the Planning Commission report, but which was not in any findings of the county board. There's another case, Peach v. City of McLeod, In that one, the Planning Commission erroneously passed the CUP application onto the County Board of Commissioners with no recommendations, and the County Board, like in this case, kind of had minimal minutes that they tried to bootstrap their decision with, but those were not adequate findings regarding the reasons behind its decision. Really, I think probably the most substantive case on this issue is the Earthburners case. The County Planning Commission there recommended denial of the CUP application, but then the County Board voted unanimously to accept the recommended denial. The Court of Appeals reversed there, however, because the County Board produced an adequate record to support its decision. In that case, the Court of Appeals stated that the county was using something akin to the cumulative effect of the record to sustain the board's decision, and that just wasn't enough. The Court of Appeals said, look, County Board, you've got to make your own findings. So I think there's a lot of case law support saying that the County Board has to make its own findings independent of the Planning Commission, even if the intention of the County Board is essentially to adopt the decision of the Planning Commission.
So they,
the
board could simply rubber stamp the committee review, just rubber stamp it and say we agree with this and this, all five elements. That's good enough.
I don't think that's good enough, Your Honor. I think the board has to substantively consider the application on its own merits, and it has to give reasons. It can certainly agree with the Planning Commission on each point after considering other sources of input. The Planning Commission does not accept input from the public, didn't accept input from us. The County Board considers a much wider universe of information than the Planning Commission. So I think the County Board can come to the same conclusions as the Planning Commission ultimately, but the County Board has to examine more stuff than the Planning Commission did and decide whether or not it agrees on each of those things considered by the Planning Commission. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
There are five findings that you point out as required by the ordinances, 42, 614. Which of those five findings do you think were relevant in this case? When I say relevant, which ones were put at issue at any stage of the proceedings?
Well, I think all of them, because those five recommendations were considered by the Planning Commission. As a property owner who has a place close to this one, we think one is probably especially important. This use could be injurious to our use, other neighbors' use.
How so?
Well, there's a number.
It seems like that's the heart of it, that it's injurious to your client because now there's another service provider that might be vying for clients the party you represent already serves. Is that really what you're arguing? And if so, if not, what other injury?
Absolutely. That is not what we're arguing. I mean, that's a fact of this case. I mean, yeah, we're another cell phone tower company. We're not going to deny that.
So what is injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property besides that?
Well, I think number one, there is a procedural injury here. We followed the rules when we put up our tower. Everyone else has to follow the rules. There was a Freeborn County case.
No, wait a second. The ordinance says the issue is whether the conditional or interim use will be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity. That's not about procedure, that somebody got an easier procedure than your client got. I'm just curious, can you identify any injury to the use and enjoyment of other property?
Sure. I mean, number one, there's only one cell phone tower in this area right now within the half mile radius. That's ours. If these things spring up everywhere, we can kind of turn what is a public benefit that is being provided into the public goes from being our ally to potentially somebody who is not such a big fan of cell phone towers. Public members don't like to see these things springing up. That brings scrutiny from the public.
The injury is to the public because again, goes back to my original question to you on this point, that a competitor shows up, not that your tower is injurious, but that an additional tower would be injurious.
Sure, it could be. And it could be injurious. Like I said, the more towers there are in an area, the more regulatory oversight there could be, the more public objection there could be. And it has an impact on, the land value of what we have acquired as an easement, as a property right. It's about more than just, this isn't a business competition issue solely. I mean, somebody, if anyone's going to be...
You mean you would be here even if this was not a business competition question on behalf of your client?
Well, no. I think that somebody's going to...
be there on behalf of all the people who don't want to see the other cell tower, right?
Well, there you go. I just think if anyone's going to object to this, we're the ones to do it. I can see arguments about why, maybe there's bigger reasons to object to conditional use permits than the ones we're here objecting about.
Well, let me pose my question a different way. Of those points, 1 through 5, section 42-614 of the county's ordinance, what were the arguments that were actually made, not in retrospect, like here, we might call this an injury. What were the arguments that were made in challenging the conditional use permit during the proceeding as to each of those 5? Are you arguing that each of those 5 were challenged during the course?
I believe that they were, Your Honor. I wasn't the attorney who appeared at the Board of County Commissioners. That would be my colleague, Adam Ripple, but he had an extensive challenge substantively to each one of those. I'm not here to necessarily argue substantively why each one of those wasn't met. I'm here to argue that
it matters, doesn't it? I mean, if you're arguing that, well, there weren't any findings, we first have to decide whether this is a form over substance argument, that that if the commission's report is substantively fact-finding on all of these points, and you're saying, well, it wasn't formally adopted, and therefore we should send it back for something of a formal adoption. I'm trying to get a sense of whether it's a waste of everybody's time if, in fact, there was no substantive argument that was presented on these 5 points.
No, there absolutely, Your Honor, was a substantive argument presented on each of these 5 points. That, that will be reflected in the meeting minutes when my colleague appeared before the County Board of Commissioners. We objected, and that's part of why we're here at the Court of Appeals, was our objections did not appear to be considered. They certainly weren't considered by the Planning Commission because those objections weren't made before the Planning Commission. There's no process for making objections before the Planning Commission. We objected before the Board of Commissioners, and they did not appear to consider our objections or any other input from the public adopting what was handed to them.
Well, let me go ahead. Finer point to it. On number 4, was there an objection made before the commission that there would be an issue with sufficient off-street parking and loading space for the proposed?
Your Honor, I don't believe that one would be a significant issue. It's a cell phone tower site, so short
okay,
of
what about number 3?
One.
Was there an argument that as to whether adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, and other necessary facilities have been or are being provided?
Your Honor, yeah, I believe that one would have been addressed because any improved site in a, in not a densely improved area would require the county to provide, additional road maintenance, additional plumbing perhaps. I believe that one would have been objected to.
Additional plumbing?
Extending. Well, I suppose there they would have a well site, perhaps. But any time you're improving, an unimproved parcel, the county has to expend additional resources on, allowing for that to be an improved site.
If a house is being built, are you saying that there needs to be county money spent on infrastructure for plumbing and other utilities for a cell tower?
I'm not aware of what the technical requirements are for adding a cell tower, but I can assure you that substantive objections were made. Probably particularly one under the county ordinance there was the big one. And probably two was another one. Three is not the biggest, but I would imagine there would have been an objection with some basis on that one as well. Parking, I doubt that would be an issue.
What about number fumes, five? Odor, fumes.
Poison, vibration.
Nothing there, right?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
So, all right. So let's take them. You recognize three, or you argue that three would apply, but you don't. You can't think of any argument now. Let's go back to number one. I'm trying to get a sense of how this use would be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property, other than the fact that there's this argument about, well, we've already got a cell tower. Is there anything?
Well, I mean, people. Sure, Your Honor. I mean, people don't like cell towers. Neighbors don't like cell towers. It obstructs view. It obstructs people's use and enjoyment of the property. It can be a hazard for wildlife. Birds hit these things. I mean, there's a lot of reasons people can object to these. And, you know, that's why they have this process, so that those objections can be considered and ruled upon by the county board.
You're certainly in an awkward position to make the argument about the danger and hazards of cell towers when your client... The client you represent is opposing this one because your client has the same use and has the same utility.
And, Your Honor, if I may, I would say that the issue is with too many cell phone towers. It's one of those things where there's already existing coverage here provided by our tower. And if you put up too many, the county ordinances are designed to prevent duplicative uses that impact public use and enjoyment, and we're already providing the service. So, you know, I think there's a valid basis to contest more and more of these things going up.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. We'll next hear for counsel for the respondent, Freeburn County Board of Commissioners, Mr. Walker. 8 minutes.
Please, the court, counsel, I am David Walker, representing the respondents here, Freeburn County Board of Commissioners. One issue that we did not brief, but that I think is critical in this case as well, is the issue of standing. In this case, this conditional use permit grants the relator's competitor the opportunity to compete. That's basically what this
Mr.
permit
Walker,
does.
Do you think you could pick up the microphone that's on the table and put it on the podium? Does that go up? I think that would be better. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
Does this improve the quality?
Quite a bit. Thank you.
Okay. So there's the issue of standing in this case. That was not briefed, but standing cannot be waived, and it can be raised at any time. An objection to standing goes to the very existence of the cause of action in this case, and a jurisdictional issue may be raised at any time.
What do you mean there's no standing? I think that's the whole heart of the appellant's argument, or the relator's argument, that there would be an injury to the appellant if the cell tower is allowed, if the CUP is allowed. Why doesn't that be for standing?
Their injury seems to be to argue that they are free from competition, and that's the only injury they're suffering here. I think when the court asked them about the particular five factors that are supposed to be considered by the Planning Commission, they couldn't identify the five factors that apply in this particular case in their favor. The courts have found that there has to be a concrete
But as a matter of constitutional standing, injury in fact, you would concede, I think, that appellants have a stake in the outcome.
Their stake in the outcome, though, is to squelch competition of a competitor. What they have to show is that there is a legally protected interest that will be invaded here, a concrete and particularized interest. Their interest is in preventing a competitor to compete with them. And I think they make that clear in the submission that they gave the Planning Commission. They sent a 20-page report to the Planning Commission, or a 20-page letter, essentially saying, look, Unity does this wherever we have a tower. They're doing it now again in Fribourne County. They're trying to compete with American Tower. That's the issue in here, in this particular case. And the mere desire to avoid competition with a competitor does not give them standing. If it did, literally every time someone applies for a permit in Fribourne County, any competitor of theirs in that same particular commercial area would be able to object to the permit and would have standing to do so.
But the relator, the relator has a property interest in the area. And why can't the relator, whether the relator is operating a competitive business and has other motives in mind, why can't the competitor stand in the shoes of any other property? Why can't that competitor not stand in the shoes like any other property owner and say, you know what? Too many cell towers is bad for the property values. That would be a basis for standing, wouldn't it?
That would be a basis for standing if they're a property owner and they're alleging that. And that's my concern in this case, that they have not alleged that concrete and particularized invasion of their property interests. That is their burden to demonstrate that they have standing in this court. Certainly the Planning Commission addressed the issue of property values, and one of the findings of fact that the Property Commission makes, or the Planning Commission makes here, is that there is no reduction in property values. And I don't think you see the relator in this case alleging that there's
I know that's the conclusion, but there's an argument. I mean, I saw the minutes. There are people who, residents who complained and said this would be an eyesore and they'd be concerned about another tower. I mean, there was testimony to that effect. I just want to be clear. Are you saying that, and I'm not sure about this from the record, are you saying that that the relator does not have a property interest in the area?
I'm not saying that. No, Your Honor.
Okay.
They have a property interest, but I think it's up to the relator to demonstrate to the court that they have standing. They have to demonstrate that their property interest is being negatively affected, or somehow that their interest in the property is being invaded here. Adam Ripple is the attorney for American Tower. He actually did appear before the Planning Commission, and his argument was about a height variance. And I think they have since abandoned that argument about the height variance because they recognize that it's an essential service and that they've met that requirement.
But
and
you
then
agree,
his other argument...
I take it you agree if someone owned a vacant parcel next to the relator's parcel, that individual could come to court with standing to raise concerns about the quality of the view... the effect on property values, the aesthetics, that person would have standing, wouldn't they?
But I don't think, yes, but I don't think that any of those things are presumed. I think that the person who comes before the court has to allege standing, particularly if it's challenged, and then they have to demonstrate to the court exactly what
you're
asking
them to demonstrate. But it hasn't been challenged. You said yourself it was raised for the first time during this argument.
It is now, and I think the relator then has to demonstrate that they do have standing.
Okay, well...
I mean, once it's challenged, it can be challenged at any time, and it's up to the relator now. Perhaps the court can find it in the record someplace, but I don't think you're going to find in this record a challenge to the property values being made by American Tower. If they did that, I would accept what the court is suggesting here. If they were coming into the court alleging that their property value has gone down... as a result of this.
Is there any place in your... What's the most pinpoint place in your brief that would put the relator on notice that the relator should address the question of standing?
There's none.
So when you say the relator has the burden to show standing and the relator hasn't met that burden, you're saying that the relator has a burden to... expect that a challenge to standing would have occurred in your oral argument?
Standing can be challenged at any time, and they should expect that they need a basis to appear in court before they even ask the court for a remedy.
All right.
So they should start out with an understanding of their own legal right to appear in court and then demonstrate to the court that they have that legal right.
Do you agree with me from the record that there were property owners who raised concerns about aesthetics and property
that owners? That is true. That is true. At the Planning Commission, there were property owners that did that. And if American Tower were such a property owner, I think they would begin to demonstrate to the court that they had some particularized interest that's being invaded.
Why is that? If there's an issue of property value, and property value is in fact it's the very first element that's necessary for fact-finding consideration by the county. I don't understand why it is that if a party comes and is a neighbor, and others have raised the question of aesthetics, why it is that you, in order to have standing, you actually have to say that your concern is primarily about aesthetics.
I just think that the case law is clear that each individual who asks the court for a remedy has to demonstrate a particularized and concrete invasion of a property interest. And they can't assume that they fall into the same category as other people that may be complaining about it. None of the property owners have joined with American Tower to challenge the conditional use permit in this case. So I don't think it's proper for them or appropriate for them to assume that they have standing based upon the interests of other parties that are not being demonstrated by this or to this court.
So just so we're clear, you're saying there's nothing in the record to support the contention that was made by the relator at oral argument that the relator has concerns and raised concerns about the fact that there's no need for more than one tower, and there's an impact on the neighboring land and in the community and the aesthetics where you have multiple towers. That was not raised until today, you're saying.
I don't feel confident enough about my memory of everything that's in the record to make that assertion to the court. I don't think that they made that argument, and I have understood from the beginning their argument is basically that they do not want a second tower there because it duplicates their services. It has nothing to do with property values. It is an effort to suggest that the board should prevent co-location, and they've argued that our ordinance should include a prohibition against co-location, but it doesn't.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. We'll now hear for counsel for Unity Towers, LLC, Mr. Gaskins. Mr. Gaskins, you'll have 7 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Judge Conley. Your Honors, good afternoon. I'd like to quickly go to a couple of things that were argued by the relator. The first is that I believe that the relator said that the Planning Commission did not hear the objections of American Tower. The record belies that. In the first place, American Tower wrote a letter through Rinky Noonan, the attorney here for them, indicating their objections to the tower. They raised three objections. The three objections in the letter were that a height variance had not been applied for or obtained, that the tower, in American Tower's opinion, was unnecessary, and three, the tower would be detrimental to the neighboring property and community. Those are the issues they raised in their letter.
Not to pit you against your ally, but wouldn't you agree that the third issue, the detriment to the neighboring areas, would include the relator as a one who has a property interest in the property neighboring the proposed site?
As I understand the county's argument on standing, the tower's detrimental to the neighboring property and community is not an injury that was suffered, in fact, by American Tower. American Tower, to my understanding, leases its property. We didn't brief it. We don't think standing is a significant issue here. I would be perfectly willing, Judge Ross, to concede standing at this point, but I do think that the county does raise a point that's worth listening to.
Thank you.
The with respect to the fairness of the proceeding, which I believe was attacked. In fact, Adam Ripple, an attorney for American Tower, did appear at the Planning Commission meeting. We know that from the planning minutes that are in the respondents' appendix. They are approved, and what Adam Ripple said at that meeting, according to the minutes, are that they didn't apply for a height variance, and the new towers were not necessary to put up as they are not needed. And he also had some quibbles with how the Freeborn County ordinance was lacking.
I had one question. The issue seems to be an appeal, you know, that the Board of Commissioners, you know, didn't do anything except, you know, pass a resolution accepting the Planning Commission's analysis. I want to pose this hypothetical. In the resolution, what if the Freeborn County Commissioner said, you know, we haven't read anything in the Planning Commission report, and we haven't read anything as to whether they've hit the five factors, but they're usually smart people, so we're going to adopt it. Do you think that would have been sufficient?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay.
I don't think it would have been good, but I do, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Please do, Mr. Gaskins. I appreciate your candor.
Okay. If you look at the city ordinance, which is the ground upon which this is based, section 42.614, section 42.614 says, no conditional or interim use shall be recommended by the County Planning Commission unless said commission shall find, and then it lists the five factors. So the Planning Commission, the ordinance says, is to make the findings and do the work. Then in section 42-613, approval, disapproval, or modification, all it says with respect to what the county commissioners are supposed to do is upon receipt of the report of the Planning Commission, the Board of County Commissioners shall make a decision upon the application for a conditional use or interim use permit. It doesn't say they have to reconsider it. It doesn't say they have to make their own findings. It doesn't say they have to do anything but make the decision. Now, why is this important? It's important because that sets the ground, and the core principle that seems to me to be the most important principle in terms of how you approach the interrelationship of these two bodies is that a court of appeals reviews a conditional use permit grant to determine whether a county's explanation of its reasons for granting the conditional use permit is sufficient to allow for judicial review. So all that is necessary in the case law is that you have a sufficient factual basis to decide whether the county's explanation about we gave them this cup for these reasons is adequate. That is contained in the commission's report, so you can review whether the county's action was sufficient or not.
That argument,
so
that explanation would go a lot further if the report that was written by Mr. Bordelon was expressly designated as the fact-finding of the Planning Commission. Would you agree with that? And if so, can you identify the best evidence in the record to support the notion that the Planning Commission adopted the Bordelon report as its fact-finding?
Yes, Your Honor. If I had my druthers, the Planning Commission, in issuing its report, would have used those words. But the substance and not the magic words are the important here. What happened was that the Freeborn Planning Commission prepared a report, and This is circumstantial evidence. We're looking at more likely than not. In fact, we may be looking at slightly less than more likely than not because of the deference that the courts give to to counties' planning commission decisions, land use decisions. So here it says planning commission. I don't know if you can see that.
We can.
That's what this is a page that was provided. There's a table of contents, and it says this is the planning commission report. And it includes Mr. Bordelain's memo, and it says on the top, planning commission report. The fact that...
What page of the planning commission... You're looking at the October 1, 2018 document? There's the cover. The cover of the document.
September 10th, 2018 is what I'm looking at. It is at Respondent's Addendum 001. That's the cover page. It then refers to the Planning County Commission September 10th report and the Freeborn Planning Commission October 1st report. Then it's got the table of contents, and it calls this the Planning Commission report. So it looks like the Planning Commission is doing this. It provides the agenda. Then at page Respondent's Addendum 008, again, it says Freeborn County in the top. It says Planning Commission Report, Respondent's Addendum 008. So,
the pagination, and we've got the, at least in your, attached to your brief, it's page 8, but you're saying that pagination, page 7, is the Planning Commission's document, and page 8 follows immediately from page 7. So the Planning Commission report, you're saying then, necessarily incorporates the report of Mr. Bordelain.
Right. It is included in and referred to by reference and adopted by reference, it seems to me, because this is the paper that they sent to the commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Gaskins. Mr. Wolf, you'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I'd just like to point out that if I were up here representing any other neighbor within half a mile of this site, we wouldn't be arguing about standing. The only reason that's even brought up is because we happen to be another cell tower company that's a neighbor. Clearly, neighbors that close to a potentially non-conforming use have standing to contest it. And as Mr. Walker was gracious enough to state, standing was not briefed here. The word standing does not appear in Respondent's joint brief. I just wanted to read a quote. There's a lot of cases that say similar things. Quote, it is axiomatic that issues not argued in the briefs are deemed waived on appeal. And
well,
that's from In Re.
That certainly applies to a lot of things, but it never applies to standing.
I agree, Your Honor. I mean, standing can be brought up at any time, but it just seems to me when you combine the fact that any other neighbor within half a mile, there wouldn't be a question of standing. With the fact that we weren't put on notice in the briefs that we were going to have to argue about that, I think the standing question is not the main focus we need to target here. Moving on, I think that there is a big difference between having input at the Planning Commission level and having input before that is actually substantively considered by the Board of County Commissioners that actually makes the decision. It's, you know, if American Towers doesn't like the bill we send them, they can complain to me. I'm an associate and I can make a recommendation to the partners, but it's their decision on what to do with it. It's not having your input substantively considered by the decision maker. And that's what's important here. And that's what we need to see reflected in the record, that the County Board of Commissioners who made the decision considered something more than, you know, the guys in the Planning Commission who we trust came up with this report. We're going to assume that it's above board. And I do think that the County Board of Commission is required to go through and say why it is or is not adopting the findings of the Planning Commission. To just say we adopt them verbatim leaves out an important part. It leaves out the part where they say why they are adopting them verbatim. Is it because the guy who wrote the report on the Planning Commission is their buddy that they trust? Is it because they went through point by point and found it credible? Did they consider our objections? Did they consider the objections of the other members of the public who appeared at this county board event? We don't know because they didn't say. And frankly, some of those other objectors might be here today, with counsels of their own if they had the resources to fight it like American Tower is fortunate enough to have. So I just think that there is...
Don't we presume otherwise? Don't we presume the fact that they're not here is that they don't have the same interest in the outcome as your client?
Well, they certainly don't have the same interest, Your Honor. But
counsel for a respondent joined in writing a brief. You're not saying you would have turned away these other residents if they said, we'd like to include our name on your brief.
Well, certainly not, Your Honor. I think the fact that they objected at the at the lower level shows that they're opposed to it. We certainly wouldn't object to having any help here. I think the reality is most members of the public don't have the wherewithal, the resources, or the time, frankly, to find out, that there's some lawyer representing some other tower company arguing about this in the Court of Appeals and throw whatever kind of support they might have behind us.
This probably isn't your strongest line of argument, the fact that that other people aren't here.
No, certainly not. I'm just saying if there was somebody else here, we wouldn't be arguing about standing. The only reason that's an issue is because we're another cell tower company. So I just think that something more is required here. And I will point out, too, that simply remanding is not the only remedy here. There's a couple cases in which the CUP was just revoked at the Court of Appeal level. They're said in the brief, Interstate Power Co. v. Nobles County Board of Commissioners, In re Living Good. Basically, Hurl is another one. Basically, there are cases saying, maybe the county shouldn't be allowed another bite at the apple when they've come up to the Court of Appeals representing that the record is complete, even though it wasn't. Thank you, Your Honors.
On that last point, you're making a procedural challenge rather than a substantive one. Your argument is that we don't have findings, we don't know what they did. I'm not sure how it is that our case law would support a reversal without a remand for the correction of the procedural deficiency that you assert exists in this case. Is there a case that supports that notion?
Well, there are cases in which the CUP was denied, and I think the record contains substantive objections.
There's substantive challenges to it. But in this case, your challenge, as I understand your brief, is entirely procedural.
Your Honor, correct. Our argument at the Court of Appeals here is primarily a procedural one, but there has been a substantive challenge. That letter by Mr. Ripple referenced by opposing counsel lists 20 pages of substantive challenges. So I just want the Court of Appeals to be aware that remand is not necessarily the only potential solution were you to reverse the decision of the county.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Thank you, Mr. Walker. Thank you, Mr. Gaskins. The matter is now submitted. That being our last case on the calendar today, we are now adjourned.
Thank you.